Let's begin with Ed Stern and Rick Pender's discussion of Ensemble Theatre Cincinnati's production of Outside Mullingar, which aired on WVXU's Around Cincinnati May 3rd, 2015.
My guest this evening is familiar to Cincinnati theatergoers. Ed Stern was the producing artistic director at the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park for 20 seasons until his retirement in 2012. But that certainly doesn't mean he's walked away from the theater. In fact, he still spends some time here in Cincinnati, and while he's here, he often finds his way to one of our local theaters to stage a show. That's what we're here to talk about this evening, the upcoming production of John Patrick Shanley's Outside Mullingar. It opens on Wednesday at Ensemble Theater Cincinnati. It's good to have you in the studio, Ed.
Glad to be here.
Before we turn to this play, could you give me a little more detail about what you have been doing since your retirement? I know you've been doing some teaching and some directing.
Some teaching, some at Penn State and University of Missouri, Kansas City, teaching some acting classes, but directing, and directing from Delaware to Connecticut to here. And while I truly adored my 20 years at the Playhouse, it's a privilege to do shows and spend other people's money.
I'm sure that's true.
I have not had to raise a dime myself on all of this. But the Ranger plays is terrific. Night of the Iguana, Tennessee Williams. Two different productions, believe it or not, of Love is Labor's Lost.
Wow.
What are the odds?
Yeah.
Now Outside Mullingar at Ensemble.
Let's talk a little bit about that. This is a relatively new play by John Patrick Shanley. It got its start just a bit more than a year ago at Manhattan Theater Club.
Yes.
Some have said it's his best script since Doubt, which was a pretty darn good script. That was back in 2005. It won both the Tony Award and the Pulitzer Prize, and you presented a production of it at the Playhouse.
We did.
I think it was in 2008 when that happened.
I think that's right.
That was a serious drama. Outside Mullingar has some serious moments in it, but it's not what you'd call a serious drama. It's more, in fact, characterized, I think, as a romantic comedy. How do you feel about that characterization?
I think that's fair. But the interesting thing is when Lynn Myers sent me the script and I read it, I did not see the production in New York. I said to Lynn, if you had sent me the script without a playwright's name attached to it, told me, because the whole play takes place in Ireland, all Irish characters, that it was an American playwright who wrote it and gave me 20 chances to guess who the playwright is, I would not guess John Patrick Shanley. His dramas can be very dramatic. His comedies can be comic with a capital C, which means sort of a 2x4 hitting you over the head. And this one has a nuance and a subtlety. It's funny without hitting you over the head. There's certainly drama attached to it. It's a kind of Irish fable, but there's a delicacy that, frankly, I think has eluded John Patrick Shanley all his playwriting life. I think he had to go back to his roots.
Which are, of course, Irish.
Irish.
He's Irish-American,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, he is. That's correct. And I think in terms of sending a love letter to his relatives, he gave it this delicacy that's really profoundly beautiful.
He wrote a lovely op-ed piece for the New York Times in 2013, which is about a year before this show debuted, about a trip back to Ireland and visiting family there. And I think that he must have absorbed the weight of some of that sort of thing in writing this piece. Can you give us just a quick thumbnail sketch of what the story is?
Well, there are four characters. There's an older woman, older gentleman, and their offspring. The gentleman has a son. The lady has an older daughter. And the daughter and the son are single, both idiosyncratic. I suppose that would be the nice way of putting it. And the other two are old and recognizing in that Irish way that they will be dead within a year. And they always love to live according to their wishes. And what happens to these two? This play has sort of a profound affirmation of love. And you have to admit that in today's playwriting circles, this affirmation of love is a rarity. And that's sort of the beauty of it, to see two people come together who have every reason not to come together. And their parents, each of whom basically says, you don't want to be attached to my son or my daughter because they're crazy.
They also don't want them to be attached to the land, apparently.
The father doesn't want the son because he believes the son, who is not married and he believes never will be married, means the land will leave the family. And he can't have that. And this play certainly deals with faith. It deals with love. It deals with land. And sort of getting out of the Irish rain into sunlight, which is important.
Well, and it starts off sort of dark and gloomy, but it brightens up as we go along.
Yes, occasional brightness and then returning to gloom.
Right.
And then at the end, bright.
Yeah. In the publicity that Ensemble Theater has put out about the show, they quote you as saying that you love the inherent optimism of the play. And I think that's part of what you're referring to.
I do, because these days you read most plays are inherently pessimistic. And after a while, so many of those plays, they begin to haunt you. And you want something that's a little bit more positive. And this one is.
It's interesting. For a small country on an island, Ireland has put out a lot of literature that evokes both humor and gloom. And this certainly carries that on, even though, as you say, this is not a script that you would immediately recognize as Shanley's.
Yeah, not at all.
So very interesting. Your production has a cast of figures who local audiences will recognize. Maybe you'd tell us who's in the show.
Well, it's a privilege to work with these four. It's just such a great pleasure. Joneo Joplin plays the father, Dale Hodges. And to get Dale and Jop, I think the last time we worked together was The Fantastics, I think. And they're just a joy, those two.
No matter what they do, I remember them in a production of King Lear that was absolutely wonderful.
Maybe not the affirmation of love.
That's true.
But they really bring out the best in each other. Mm. And then Jennifer Joplin, surprising last name. I wonder if there's any connection.
Possibly.
Playing Dale's daughter. And Brian Isaac Phillips from Cincinnati Shakes, playing the son.
And Brian got his start at Ensemble Theater. He was an intern there years ago. And, of course, now runs Cincinnati Shakespeare, where Jennifer is a regular member of their company. And Dale and Joneo Joplin have both acted there with some frequency also. So these folks all know one another.
They really do. And I think that's helped move rehearsals along so quickly. They're comfortable with each other and in their own skins. And so we're able just to do the work and relish this play.
Speaking of comfort, I see that you've recruited Joe Tilford to do your scenic design.
I did. And having Joe here and Brian Marriage doing the lighting and Reba Sensky costumes, but Joe I adore working with.
Yeah, Joe did many productions at the Playhouse over the years.
Absolutely. He did my very last show, As You Like It. Mm-hmm. And the trick is there are, I think, 5 sets to this show. And if you know Ensemble Theater, you don't know where you could put them.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of a pleasure to see someone who's not familiar with that space work something out that, at least right now, it looks like it actually could work. I say that.
Yeah.
I'll find out when we open if it does.
Yeah.
But Joe is so meticulous this way to make sure everything is exactly right.
Yeah. What's your next engagement after this one?
I think the summer is going to be fortunately free. And believe it or not, the next one is here in town again. At Xavier, I'm doing Kenneth Lonergan's This Is Our Youth, which I just cast and have 3 wonderful actors. It's a terrific play. And then I open that, and a week later, I'm in St. Louis to do Lion in Winter, which was a play everyone thinks they know, but they really know because of the movie, the terrific movie. But very few people have actually seen on stage. In truth, I've never seen it on stage. And Mr. Tilford's doing the set for that as well.
Ed Stern also came into WVXU's studio to talk with Rick Pender about Xavier University Theater Department's presentation of the complete works of William Shakespeare, Unabridged. This interview aired on Around Cincinnati's February 12, 2017 program.
My guest this evening is well known to Cincinnati theatergoers. Ed Stern was the producing artistic director at the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park for more than 2 decades. Since his retirement from that job in 2012, he's barely slowed down, it seems, especially in the realm of staging shows on university campuses, both locally and elsewhere around the United States. He's back for another production at Xavier University, which is coming up this week at the Gallagher Center Theater. Its entire title is The Complete Works of William Shakespeare, parentheses, abridged, brackets, revised. It's good to see you again, Ed.
Yeah, nice being here.
So, you have a long acquaintance with the Reduced Shakespeare Company, that London-based trio of madmen, it seems to me. They've done 9 of these abridged shows altogether, and several of them were presented, and I think a couple were premiered at the Playhouse.
That's correct. We brought them in, and the Complete Works has been certainly Cincinnati Shakespeare's done it several times.
Yes.
But when I was running the Playhouse, we brought these 3 crazies in. And they did that show, and it was fabulous.
Well, it's a wonderful show. It's, as described by them, 37 plays in 97 minutes. And that was the first of these works that they did. It started at the Edinburgh Festival Fringe about 30 years ago, and it was London's longest-running comedy. It ran for 9 years in a West End theater. But the title now has this bracketed revised added to it. As of a couple of years ago. Do you want to say a little bit about what's
new
about it?
Just snippets. I don't want to make it sound like it's a wholesale revision. Yeah. It really isn't.
Well, Shakespeare hadn't added any plays or anything. So.
He didn't do Death of a Salesman?
Oh,
my gosh.
So.
Well, we got to take that out this evening. But they added a few lines here, took a few things out there. Nips and tucks, basically, and it's really good.
Yeah. I think I've seen a staging of it, and I know there's like references to smartphones and Wikipedia and few things like that weren't around in the 1980s.
Anne Hathaway, when someone's doing the bio and mentions that he married Anne Hathaway, she looks up thinking.
Oh, that's great. So what motivated you to take on this production using student actors at Xavier University?
Well, last year I did This Is Our Youth, the Kenneth Lonergan, whose name certainly is in the news these days.
Yes.
And I had a wonderful time. They're good kids, inquisitive, anxious to really work and work hard. Stephen Skiles, who runs the department, I think is doing a really terrific job, to the point that I'm going back next year. I'm going to do Sam Shepard's Buried Child, and the 2 old folk will be Bruce Cromer and Regina Pio. And so one of the things I admire about Stephen, past getting professional directors in, is these students have the great ability of working. I mean, working with Bruce Cromer,
what more could you ask?
Exactly. Right, and so he's creating an atmosphere where these kids come out and they really are professional.
There are no veteran actors in this production, I presume, however.
That's
correct. These are all students.
These are all students.
I understand that they are just completing a production of Hamlet this weekend. Any connection between that production and yours?
Oz is shorter.
I presume that the actors from Hamlet are probably not involved in your production.
But I do love the fact that Hamlet precedes us.
Yes. Well, and I think it's a good example of the kind of really intriguing programming that Stephen is doing there, giving his students not just interesting acting opportunities, but students who attend Xavier can come and see perhaps Shakespeare's greatest play and then see something that plays and makes humor of, you know, of much of that.
Because
sort of thing.
Act 2 is all Hamlet.
That's right.
In this show.
Yes.
And we butcher that play. My penance of doing this is next fall I'm in Kansas City doing King Lear.
Oh. Well, that'll cleanse your palate, won't it?
Exactly.
So what do you expect your student actors will learn from working on this show?
I think, and it was the same thing with the Kenneth Lonergan, I think one of the things they really find is the specificity, that they really have to know what they're doing every minute. Now, in this production, it's fair to say they don't have to work on a single character, but comedy is very, very difficult. And it's not just being silly. And I think that's the fine line with this show.
You know, Ed, I think that many people who see this show think that it's just sort of three guys up there flying by the seat of their pants. And that's the way it should come across. But it is actually a very carefully scripted and structured show. There is certainly opportunity for improvisation within it. But the actors have to be very disciplined in terms of what they are doing.
And even in terms of improv, they're doing that now. And sometimes it lands really well, and sometimes you hear a thud, and they have to understand the parameters of improv. So, yes, there's a level of discipline for comedy that I hope all three of them are learning, but they seem to be learning it very well.
Are there particular things that you say to them to help them really get into doing the comedy?
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Seems to be one of choice. You know, but also, you know, they all three have to be in the same comic vein, have to be in that groove, and you can't have someone standing out the wrong way. It really is a tough show for young people, and that's good for them. That's what they should be doing.
It is such a zany show in so many ways. I have to imagine that at least during the rehearsal process, there are moments when things just break down completely because there's such tomfoolery going on stage. You probably have to work that out of their system so that
exactly.
They
can... And one of the difficulties is you wish you had 2 weeks of previews for this show. You interact with the audience. The audience, for better or worse, can be involved in this show. And, of course, we don't have an audience there. And so we have to sort of imagine what that's going to be like. What could they say? What could they do that's unexpected? And that's sort of an interesting, intriguing thing.
Yeah, well, that audience involvement is a key element, particularly the second act when Hamlet is kind of restaged.
Right.
Very inventively, let's say. So the actors really do have to be prepared for whoever gets up on stage and they give the audience members some instruction, but some people will dive right in and some people will be kind of shy and some people will probably be paralyzed.
I hope not the latter, but that could happen.
Yeah. Well, that has to be another interesting experience for actors. I mean, we see in some contemporary theater, particularly, opportunities for that kind of audience involvement. And it's something useful for them to learn to work with.
I just think when everyone comes to a show like this, they recognize they're not just going to be sitting back. There is going to be a level of participation. Yeah. And no one's going to be affronted. No one's going to be accosted. Not yet, anyway. So they can relax but be part of the comedy.
Yeah. Well, Ed, I have to ask you, it's been a couple of years since you left the Playhouse, but you seem as busy as ever. What keeps you going? Is it doing productions like
fear.
This?
Fear. Well, you know, I was at the Playhouse for 20 years. I can truly say I loved every moment of it. It's a great staff. It's a great theater. But I enjoy not running a theater. I enjoy not doing the admin and things that are necessary when you run a theater. And now I can just direct and do shows I want to do and come back to shows like Lear. And so I look forward to that. Mm-hmm. I look forward to just being in the rehearsal.
Is the Lear a professional production?
It's a co-production between the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and a local equity theater. So some of the older parts of Gloucester and so forth will be all equity. So it would be an intermingling. But it's very exciting. It's wonderful to do Shakespeare, whether it's zany or as real and tragic as Lear is.
And Ed Stern's final interview with Rick Pender for WBXU's Around Cincinnati aired on May 13, 2018. And was a discussion of Cincinnati Shakespeare Company's production of Noises Off.
If you're in need of a good laugh, chances are good that a visit to Cincinnati Shakespeare Company in the next few weeks will be a good decision on your part. Michael Frayn's backstage comedy Noises Off is often described as the funniest play ever written. It's being staged by a director who knows how to wring the most out of a farce, Ed Stern, the former producing artistic director at the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. It's good to be talking with you again, Ed.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I want to start off by having you talk a little bit about what farce is, because I think some people may have, I don't know, sort of overly simplified notions of it.
Brits view farce as the highest form of acting because a line is written to get a laugh. And it is funny, and you don't get a laugh, you didn't succeed. Here in America, I think more people think of farce like the Three Stooges, like slapstick, being silly. And the thing about good farce, British farce, is the precision of it. It starts and it all makes sense. It seems reasonable. And then it just goes off the tracks. But by starting from a genuine place and building from that, it becomes a catastrophe, as opposed to just starting to try to be silly and throw pies and things like that.
And that's not to say that there isn't a bit of, well, there's no pie throwing, but maybe some sardine throwing in this particular production. I mean, there is, slapstick is certainly an element of this, but the cleverness of it is something that really sets this particular show apart.
It's certainly, for me, arguably could be the funniest play ever written, but it's also just the most brilliant. Michael Frayn is extraordinary. Years ago, I did an ensemble. I did a production in Copenhagen, Michael Frayn's play. And actually, Joni Joplin and Dale Hodges were in this production, two of the three actors at ensemble. And Copenhagen is about looking at one event three different ways. And that's not a funny play.
No.
And Noizov, which is a funny play, is looking at one event three different ways. He has a mathematical precision that is unerring.
He's quite a brilliant writer. Why don't, for those who are listening, maybe we need to say a little bit about what is that thing that we see three times in this show?
Well, it's a company of actors, and they are in the first act rehearsing Nothing On, this not very good play, and the trials and tribulations of getting it right.
And it is supposedly sort of a farce itself.
Yeah, it's supposedly a farce.
Right. It's a rather sad farce.
It's a kind of Emmett Kelly clown,
yes,
sadness.
Right.
And there are tensions and rivalries with the actors. And the second act, the show is now opened. And it's about 4 or 5 weeks into the run, where it's a touring show, not a very fancy production, but they're touring, and we go backstage. We see the show from backstage. Now, what's interesting is further from the audience, the Cincinnati Shakes will be the play Nothing On that they're performing. And what we see backstage is a kind of almost a mime show, because they can't talk. They don't want to interrupt what's going on stage. And so how the two gel, someone exiting from Nothing On comes immediately into the action in Noises Off. And so for the actors, the challenge is that absolute specificity where you're exactly right. You're not 5, 10 seconds away. You have to be on the money.
You said it's not a very complicated physical production, but that the Nothing Off is not a very complicated production. But it does have a set with a lot of doors in it.
A lot of doors.
And that's part of an element of farce, let's say.
Absolutely.
The choreography of slamming doors is something that
many
has to...
A large amount of time spent on slamming doors. And in the third act, though we're combining acts two and three, we go back to the front to see Nothing On towards the end of the run, and it is a disaster. Everything that could go wrong goes wrong. And so we sort of see this progression or regression, however you want to view it. And to have a company of actors who are up to the challenge, and I think these actors actually are, which is a pleasure.
This is at Cincinnati Shakespeare, and many of the actors, any of our listeners out there are regular attendees at Cincinnati Shakespeare, are part of the company. But there are a few extras also. As you mentioned, Joni Joplin and Dale Hodges are part of the production. Brian Phillips, who's now the artistic director there, is also playing a role in this. And Brooke Steele, who's been in a number of amusing shows at Ensemble Theater and elsewhere, is playing a particularly amusing character. They're all amusing characters, frankly. But she's got one who can't hold on to her contact lenses, and
yes,
she's a lot of fun to watch, too. So actually what we're seeing then is sort of a farce within a farce. Nothing Off is attempting to be funny. Noises Off is really, really a very funny, funny piece. But I wonder if you might want to say a little bit, and it is also, it's Frayn is a British playwright. The play is set in England. They're touring a couple of nowhere places in England. But how much do you need to really know about British places, about humor, about backstage kinds of things? Or is the humor more,
it
translates
the
well?
The easy answer is nothing. It's not one of those kind of cloistered plays where if you're not part of the in crowd, if you have not been a theater aficionado for the last 30 years, you're not going to appreciate this play. Anyone can appreciate it. And the types of actors, you may not know actors, but you recognize these types.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a very welcoming play.
When you set out to stage a show like this, what is your biggest concern? What is it that you're really going to have to make sure works properly when you're doing Noises Off?
Well, the first thing I did was pray a lot, you have to make sure that everyone recognizes it's their responsibility to stay on top of it. They can't slough off. No one could take it easy because everyone else is responsible for what you do. And so it becomes a cohesive company. And you want to foster that company spirit. You want everyone to be working the hardest. And they did. They really did. It's well worth it.
There's a play on Broadway right now called The Play That Goes Wrong, which some people may be familiar with. And in fact, it's coming here as part of the Broadway series next season. It is also a British farce, but somewhat different from this. Noises Off is really a classic play. The Play That Goes Wrong is a very recent work. You want to draw any comparison between
The Play That Goes Wrong, which is very funny,
yes,
is almost entirely physical humor. There is, because it's also about a company putting on a show, there is a lightness. For all of physical comedy, there's an innocence and a sweetness about it. But it is very physical, and it works. Noises Off is physical, but it has a brilliance about it. Mm-hmm. Not daunting, not something that's going to make an audience member want to not think about coming. But it's so brilliantly constructed. Frayn really is a genius. The first day I said to the actors, listen, there's only one genius in this room. It ain't you and it ain't me. It's Michael Frayn. And so we're going to trust what he wrote.
I've been talking with Ed Stern, who is the show's guest director. It's great to see you and have your work back on a Cincinnati stage.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a celebration of Ed Stern, who passed away earlier this week. Loved by all, his presence on the theater scene will be dearly missed. You'll find links to this special on wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Lee Hay.